like to call the meeting in order of the House Special Committee on Oil and Gas. It is Thursday, the 3rd of May, 2007. It's 3:03, and my name is Representative Corin, the Chair of the Committee, and with us we have committee members of Olson, Kawasaki, and Dugan, and we're hoping to have more members here in short order. We've got back before us House Joint Resolution 13, and
yes,
the sponsor of that resolution is, of course, our friend Berta Gardner, and I wanted to note, just for the benefit of Mr. Johnson, that Craig will get to you, only because I wanted to put it in the order of being polite to a colleague who had already been to us with a bill, so we'll get to you as soon as we're done with this, which should be soon, okay? And we'll get back in touch as soon as we're ready, all right? Which should be soon. I don't recall if we closed the public hearing before or not. Did we close
the
public hearing? Okay, because it's been a couple of weeks, and my apologies for not being here last Thursday, as I had
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A personal family matter I had to deal with back home in Wasilla, so it's great to be back and help you along with this bill. So would you care to offer any
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These things
action?
Happen, but I appreciate your courtesy. This is Representative Berta Gardner. I represent Midtown Anchorage District 24, and as the Chair noted, we put this bill forward several weeks ago. The one thing that has changed in the intervening time, on the Senate side, there's the same bill essentially, and they changed it by, instead of urging the Attorney General and the RCA to work on it, they're addressing it to the Department of Energy, since the Attorney General and the RCA have already intervened. That's perfectly acceptable to me, but I don't propose to necessarily amend it here today, but it would be my intention at the next committee if we move forward. And as I said, since they've already intervened, it's kind of a toss-up as to how much effort is worth putting in at this point. So we went to the Division of Natural Resources and we asked them, do you want us to move forward? Is it helpful? Or should we just let this thing go? And I believe all the members of the committee saw the letter written by Kevin Banks,
yes,
saying that the consideration of the resolution is helpful. And the resolution shows the state government speaking with a unified voice to assure that natural gas will continue to be available for the domestic energy market in Alaska. So because of that, I'd like to move forward and just continue this process.
All right. Okay. Do you have any amendments that you wish to offer at this time
to
the committee then? Do any of the committee members have any amendments they wish to offer?
I do not, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
I've got a question.
Yes,
Representative
Dugan,
please go ahead.
Representative Olson.
It looks to me like the resolution was filed the day after the cutoff for testimony by the Department of Energy. Is that correct?
That is correct. On the Senate side, it was filed earlier, however.
But not this piece.
But not this piece.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, we have heard this bill at length before, and so I feel comfortable in moving forward if the committee does. Having said that, is there any will that the committee wishes to demonstrate?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Joint Resolution 13 with individual recommendations,
mm-hmm,
and I don't believe I have to talk about fiscal notes because
mm-hmm
I don't believe there's one attached.
Mm-hmm.
There's a zero.
Sorry?
There's one.
Oh, and attached fiscal notes.
Zero fiscal notes. You got it. Any objection to the motion as noted? Seeing no objection, the motion as presented has passed. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, we'll now move on to the next resolution. Is there somebody here from Craig's office? I guess not. I guess we'll just have to take a brief at ease and we'll get Craig.
The resolution before you is virtually identical to every resolution that has gone before this body over the last number of years. There are some important differences that I do want to point out, and those would be primarily, I've tried to make this, as shocking as it may sound, a little more environmentally friendly. I have asked that certain alternative energies be explored in some of the whereases. I've asked that we address some of the wildlife there, the porcupine caribou herd, and address certain technologies that be implemented, such as directional drilling, to minimize the footprint.
Mm-hmm.
This approach, what's been done in the past, doesn't seem to have worked. Mm-hmm. This may or may not. but the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. So taking a little softer approach on this, asking for some conservation measures to be considered as well as the drilling aspects. So in terms, if you want to go through the specific whereases, but that's the overall concept and the intention of this resolution.
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Johnson, are we talking now about the, what I have here is a work draft CS? Is that where your comments are directed?
Yes, we actually, there is a, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, there is a sponsor substitute that I think would need to be looked at prior to that. I'm addressing the sponsor CS.
Do you have a copy of that?
I'm sorry, the committee substitute.
Thank you.
It is a committee substitute. I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Then I move that the committee consider CS for House Joint Resolution 12, the version that is Bullock, ending in 188/E.
Okay. All right. Now, are you moving to adopt?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
As a final action here of the committee, then, just to move it out of committee, or just simply to adopt
it
for
to adopt it for the purposes of
discussion. For the purpose of discussion.
Okay. I could go. It would be fine. Yeah.
I don't know if any of the other members have questions, so I don't want to move it prematurely.
Good. I just wanted to clarify the motion. I thank you for that. That's a good motion. Seeing no objection to that, we have a work draft E before us. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. And those are the primary differences. There is encouragement. On page 2, starting with line 5, this would be different than the previous resolutions that most everyone on this committee has seen, which basically asked that would be enhanced, that the future development would be enhanced. On page 3, line 11, encourages the use of directional drilling to minimize the footprint and also do some wildlife protection. On line 26 of that same page, also referencing directional drilling. And on 29, increasing development of renewable resources, sort of a dual-edged sword. We need the natural resources up there, but it also encourages that we look at other energy sources so that we're not at least sending the appearance that we're out to just maximize the oil reserve, but look at other areas as well. And I think that's been a push in this legislature, this session, to look at some alternative energies.
Yes, excellent. I want to thank you for the directional drilling comments you put in here, because that's, I think, some technology that we should take full advantage of, and note to the rest of the country, or particularly Congress, that we do have that technology so that we can really limit any potential environmental, I don't want to say damage, but footprint.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And a comment on that, I think that you know, no one wants to see Alaska, you know, be decimated, and I don't think anyone cares like Alaskans any more than Alaskans. I think it's important that we point that out, as well as that we are a resource state, and we should have the right to develop it, but we also want to do it responsibly.
Yes. Have you got any feedback from anybody on this pro or con?
Mr. Chairman, not a lot. It has been it's been one of those resolutions that, quite honestly, halfway through the session, when I found that no one had introduced it, it was one of those like, we really ought to do it. So no, I haven't had a lot of feedback. I do expect that there will be the usual culprits that are opposed to drilling, and I don't want to use culprits in a negative term, other than the fact as identification, and then you'll have the typical support. So I don't think there's anyone coming out of the woodwork for any of my changes. As a matter of fact, it may have muffled some of them, because we are addressing some of the concerns of some of the environmental groups.
I wanted to observe too that given our success in Congress in the last year or so, it has kind of dampened the people's enthusiasm about onward, but we should not allow the issue to fall on the back burner. So I do commend you and thank you for bringing this forward. It's a resolution that this Oil and Gas Committee has actually put through in years past, as I have myself.
And Mr. Chairman, we may have plagiarized much of your language from the past. So.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just happy that somebody's been willing to take this forward to keep the issue alive.
Thank you.
And what have you heard in terms of the prospects in D.C.? What are the sentiments right now as far as our prospects of possibly having success with getting into ONWAR? Is there any update you can provide us on that now that you're the resident expert?
The prospects are dismal, Mr. Chairman. I don't think that this legislature is inclined, or this Congress is inclined to do anything on it. I think we still have the support of the president and the administration, but I think that this is a back burner issue. I think ANWR's going to be one of those things. It's always been my philosophy that when they're starting to turn the lights off on some of the big East Coast cities, that ANWR will be developed very, very quickly.
Right.
And they won't care about who lives up there or what herds are up there. Right. And I think it's our responsibility as a state to be positioned in such a way that we can do it responsibly, because right. we do have to live here and we still do care.
Or if gas at the pump exceeds, say, $5 a gallon, that might change some attitudes in D.C.
Or, Mr. Chairman, the line goes around the block.
Yeah, really.
Correct.
As we saw in 73 during the oil embargo.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have any further comments before I go into public testimony?
No, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. I appreciate you getting to me.
You're quite welcome, sir. Okay, what I'd like to do then is to go to our public testimony. I'd like to open that to the first individual who is, I understand, here, Mr. Thompson, Robert Thompson. Is that the...
Yes, this is Robert Thompson from Cocktail.
I misread the sheet here, sir. I realize that you are off net. I do apologize for that. Mr. Thompson, why don't you go ahead and offer us your thoughts on this bill?
Okay, my name is Robert Thompson. I'm a resident of Cocktail. I've lived here for about 20 years, and I'm opposed to development in Arctic Refuge. I think the American public should know that this area is about 5% of what's available to the oil industry on the North Slope. That's been, they've been misled about that repeatedly by our congressional delegation. The environmental impact statement was done 20 years ago. We've had climate change here that's affecting the wildlife. The last count that I'm aware of, there was one muskox left. The porcupine caribou herd is down 50 to 60,000 animals, in part probably due to climate change. As a subsistence hunter, nobody's told me where I will be able to pursue subsistence hunting activities in the refuge if the refuge were to be developed into an oil field. Also, repeatedly, it's been said that people on the North Slope and Cocktail in particular are in favor of this development and a poll funded by Arctic Power has been used. And from what I'm finding here is there's a lot of people opposed to it. So if you're going to keep on using that reference that we're doing it for the people of Cocktail, possibly there should be a further investigation into this, because that may not be the truth. There's been a petition circulated that indicates, and possibly the majority may be opposed to it. There's no concern for cumulative impacts. Nobody's telling us what all this will lead to. Does it lead to offshore? Previous Senator Murkowski indicated that this is a bridge to the offshore areas, which all of us are opposed to up here. So those sort of questions should be answered. There's no concern for the pollution that this oil field will emit and how it's going to affect our health in Cocktail. So, and also this issue has been going on for 25 years, and it looks like the American people have spoken on this, and it's generally believe that we can do without despoiling this last 5% of the North Slope. This is only 5% that can be saved by law, so I believe we should save it. And I do like the provision of the bill you're considering that is related to alternative energy. This is something that we should take a leadership in instead of letting the American public believe that we're just going to exploit every single piece of the land up here. And that's what a vote for this development would do. It would give the oil companies 100% of the North Slope. So these are my concerns. Thank you for hearing them.
Mr. Thompson, thank you very much for your testimony, and I really appreciate your concerns, which will be certainly well noted. I'd like to ask committee members if they have any questions. I guess the thought that I had in regard to the climate change, you had mentioned that animal numbers are down up there due to climate change, in your opinion. And I suppose you could tie an indirect, make an indirect connection between oil development and the consumption of oil products to that. If a person believed that emissions from that generate enough CO2 to contribute to global warming, and hence animal numbers going down, but I don't know. I'm just not quite seeing the connection between your concerns about the climate change and the animals being reduced in numbers as it relates to this resolution. You're welcome to respond.
I can address that.
Okay.
As I understand it, this development is supposed to be only to proceed if it's compatible with the wildlife. And this study that was done, I think it was completed in 87, so a considerable amount of time. We've been getting like rain in the wintertime up here and misting to where all the food on the ground is froze up. So for these reasons, it's been very, had a bad effect on the wildlife. And in as much as this is supposed to be done with, if it's compatible with the wildlife, I believe there should be some more studies to determine this. You say, you know, how can I put that together? Well, I live here, and there hasn't been any studies since in the last 20 years on the habitat that I know of, at least not in the wintertime. So when this progresses to the United States Congress, they should be aware of this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know Lisa Murkowski has said that if it's passed, that there would be continuing studies. But the Congress should know before they vote on it what they're voting on and the conditions here.
Okay, sir. Thank you again for your testimony and your concerns. I really do appreciate that, okay? Okay, we'll move on to our next off-net site, which is the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office. We have two individuals there. The first one would be Pamela Miller from the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. Pamela, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for this opportunity to comment. My name's Pamela A. Miller. I'm the Arctic Coordinator of the Northern Alaska Environmental Center. Thank you, Chairman, for this opportunity to comment. And I'm speaking opposed to the resolution because I believe it's not in the best interest of Alaskans now or in the future. It was Fairbanksans who played a very big role in the establishment of the Arctic Refuge back in 1960. And we are in the region and hear a lot about the climate changes that are going on. And I would add to what Robert Thompson talked about, that the wildlife, the caribou, the polar bears, the muskox are already facing problems due to climate change. That's without the impacts of oil and gas development. And the refuge provides a scientific baseline as well as a study area that is not part of the drilling on the North Slope. Mm-hmm. So initially, when I thought about what could I say that was any different than what people have talked about for the last number of years, I was waking up to the radio, and I heard these words, we've got to get off fossil fuels. It wasn't some environmentalist like myself. It was former Chrysler head Lee Iacocca. And that woke me up that morning. I think there's a lot of excitement in Alaska about our future with renewable energy, and I think those issues should be considered and should not be considered as part of a resolution that will open the refuge to drilling. We can send a signal to Washington that we are thinking about things in a different way, and I think that would be very useful. The oil and gas industry has not demonstrated that it can be trusted to protect environmental health and safety. And you just have to open up the newspaper today. Our headline here in Fairbanks said, actually it was yesterday, said that top BP executives acknowledged that the company had withheld documents last year from lawmakers who were investigating whether cost-cutting measures were a factor in the pipeline corrosion. A couple days last year, before the head honcho of BP came to Fairbanks, I wrote a press release that says, quote, fix this mess. We knew what was going on up there. I had documents from the DEC talking about problems with leak detection and spills back from many years ago, and the state regulators had not taken proper action.
Pamela,
I don't trust that they will consider, and can I just make one other point in relation to what you guys talked about?
Well, I was just going to make the comment, if you could please keep your comments directed strictly to the resolution here as far as whether we should open ONWR or not. I sure would appreciate it, as opposed to the issue of leaky pipes in the North Slope.
Well, there's a statement in the resolution. It's one of the whereases that says, whereas...
Page 3, lines 5 to 7.
The state will ensure the continued health and productivity of the porcupine caribou herd, whereas the state will ensure, there's one that talks about environmental protection, and I think there is a track record. It says, well, this will ensure the protection of land, water, and wildlife resources during exploration and development. I think we do have a track record that is relevant about our state regulation related to spill, leak detection, and other matters for a wildlife refuge. I also just want to mention, I've looked quite closely into the issues of directional drilling, and it is a practice that has been going on since the beginning of Prudhoe Bay. Yes, they are extending out a little bit further, but in the National Petroleum Reserve, there were some stipulations relating to buffer zones away from a sensitive creek, and ConocoPhillips said they couldn't move the fields out of that buffer zone, that it was a couple miles wide, that it was too far. And they pressured Bureau of Land Management to remove stipulations that talked about using directional drilling. So clearly industry, when it gets to being required to use that practice or using it when it's not economic, is not inclined to use it. So what we'll have out on the coastal plain is a sprawling industrial network. It won't be one small compact area that's dedicated to industrial activities. It will change the character of that last piece of the North Slope coastal plain and foothills. So we're very concerned about these issues and believe that there are much better things for the state to concentrate on. We will have oil and gas development into the future on our state lands, and we don't need to go into the wildlife refuge. So thank you for your attention.
Pamela, thank you very much. I really do appreciate your concerns. And I for one, am concerned about the effects of global warming on the on our state. Frankly, though, I think we need to, of course, I'm editorializing here a little bit, but I think we need to continue to pursue the development of petroleum in the state for our country and our state. But perhaps as a long-term picture, we can actively and aggressively explore alternative energy, too, so we can become less dependent on fossil fuels and put less emissions that contain carbon dioxide into the atmosphere that could be affecting global warming. So I do thank you for your thoughts, and we'll, with that, go to Representative Ramirez, who has a question or comment for Ms. Miller.
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Miller. Do you live in the city or borough?
I live in the borough.
Do you have any kids in school?
No, I chose not to have children. I'm afraid that's the situation. So I have other relatives, however.
So you have other relatives that might have kids in our school system?
Ma'am, did you hear the follow-up question? He was wondering if you had other relatives in the school system. He's leading up to a point, I guess, or question for it.
I guess I would just say I grew up in a generation that saw opportunities in the workplace, and I chose a career in an unconventional area to be a wildlife biologist. I pursued my dream. I got to study birds up in the Arctic Refuge. I got to know that land. I got to live in a cabin in Fairbanks, and I've had a very good life. I'm 52 years old, so I don't have any kids in the school, but I've had a wonderful ability to work with education, to make presentations in the school, to Joy Elementary School that's around the corner from my office,
okay,
to attend presentations to Camp Habitat, and our young kids are really excited about the wildlife, about the future, about renewable energy. So thank you for the question.
Yes, ma'am. I'll hone my remarks then in that direction. You know that the state of Alaska contributes a lot to the education, the cost of underwriting K through 12 education. And I appreciate your point of view, but do you have any thoughts as to where the state of Alaska is going to generate the revenue necessary to maintain our K through 12 school system, or the roads that you took
today that were state-maintained in order to get to the LIO or to pay the rent at the LIO so that you may testify today, or that your thoughts can be recorded by the secretary down here so that we can maintain the infrastructure of government. What are your future thoughts? Is your preference a sales tax and income tax, surrender your permanent fund, suspend some of the vital functions of government? What's your long-term plan for the state of Alaska?
Well, like many people in the state of Alaska, I think we need to do a better job of planning that. I don't think BP should be able to deduct the costs of the repairs of their pipeline from the royalty, from the taxes that they're paying the state. I think there's a chunk of money in situations like that. And certainly on state land, which we have 20 million acres open, we get 100% of what royalties there are that are produced. There is no guarantee that the state will get anywhere more than half of the federal royalties that may occur from speculative oil development that we may see in the future. The gas line project, the environmental community, my organization, Northern Alaska Environmental Center, has endorsed the gas line project. That gas is sitting in Prudhoe Bay and will produce revenues for the state. But I think we can tighten up the ways we're doing the accounting on the tariffs of Prudhoe Bay. There's a lot of money there that we're not seeing in the state. I appreciate we need money in the state, but a speculative project that Congress won't pass, I don't think is a good way to hedge our bets. I think we can buckle down and look at the things we have that Alaskans, you know, can have a bigger say about. So thank you. Pamela,
thank you very much for your comments. We have one more individual there that I understand wants to testify, so we'd like to get to her. Then we'll close our testimony and take amendments on this bill. So I understand there's a Debbie Miller there also at the Fairbanks LAO who has noted that she's a Fairbanks author. Debbie, are you there?
Yeah, hi. This is Debbie Miller. I am a Fairbanks author. I've lived in Alaska for 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
Love this state with all my heart. At one time, I actually taught school. I was a school teacher up in Arctic Village back in the 1970s. And was introduced to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge at that time. Subsequent to that, I've made many, many, many trips to the area. I've walked across the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge on numerous occasions, studied the wildlife. Most recently, I wrote an essay about the songbirds that are coming to Alaska as we speak and how they depend on this area as a birthplace. Many species that come from six continents and all 50 states. It's an incredible place, a very sensitive birthplace, not only for the porcupine caribou herd, but for polar bears, migratory birds. We have national treaties, actually, that we are bound to protect the habitat of these migratory species. So I'm very much opposed to HJR 12. I first testified on this issue back in 1986. When my oldest daughter was 6 months old. She is now just about 21, and here I am again today, basically repeating myself that there are some places that are so special in Alaska that we need to keep them closed to industrialization. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Coastal Plain is one of those types of places that we just have no business in industrializing on any scale. We have, Pam Miller just mentioned, we have 20 million acres that the state of Alaska it's open for industrial development on the North Slope. I think we're up to 27 producing oil fields now that are scattered over 1,000 square miles. And I can remember, you know, the history. I'm older than some of you that are listening. I can remember back in the mid-1980s, that under certain administrations within the state, I would get letters stating that if we don't open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling, that we're going to have to shut down the pipeline. I mean, history has borne out that that's not true. We've had many discoveries since then. The state continues to develop the North Slope. The National Petroleum Reserve is being opened up, you know, all these different areas over there. And frankly, the oil companies themselves have not been clamoring to get into the Arctic Refuge. You may have noticed there is not the kind of interest. At one time, going back 20 years, there was, I think, a mysterious promise that the forbidden fruit in the Arctic Refuge, there might be another Prudhoe Bay, there might be another mega field in the Arctic Refuge. Well, that proved to be a myth, and you could specifically speak to the USGS people about that, about the fact that there are no mega fields, that they, with their most current resolution that they've looked at, the old seismic data, have said that this is a very, very, very low promising area in terms of finding the next Prudhoe Bay. So, you know, we have other choices. I am very much a strong proponent of alternative energy. Representative Ramirez, you were asking about what should the state do. Well, we have, for example, untapped tremendous geothermal energy. We have 50 active volcanoes in the state, more than any other state in the country. We have a lot of untapped geothermal. That geothermal, for example, might be harnessed and used to produce hydrogen. We could be the number one hydrogen producers, like Iceland, it has gone that route, and we potentially could be servicing the whole world if we look ahead. If we sit back and continue to think fossil fuel, fossil fuel, fossil fuel, you know, we shouldn't be developing fossil fuels. We should be weaning ourselves from that as consumers and as producers. So I would urge you to send a resolution to Congress urging them to help promote the development of alternative energy, clean energy in Alaska. And that's the direction we should be going. And it has nothing to do with the Arctic Refuge. That place should be kept off limits for your children, for my grandchildren, because it is so special. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie. The only problem I have with your testimony is the fact that you made reference to you being older than a lot of us here, and there are some old timers on this committee, don't you know? I'm one of them.
And as am I.
Notice I keep looking at Mike, too.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. You make some very good points, though, in all seriousness, though, and I appreciate that, Debbie. I still maintain, though, that we do need the petroleum development, and but certainly for the long term, we need to also explore a clean alternative energy, too, and I'd be pleased at the state level here to be involved in legislation that would encourage development of that, perhaps through regulatory reform or tax credits to encourage new industries and clean alternative energy development. So your comments are well received, and I do appreciate them. Okay, those are the only names I have on my sheets. I'd like to just open it up to anybody else that might be listening in that wishes to make any comments on this before we close the public hearing. Is there anybody anywhere in the state that's listening that wishes to comment on House Joint Resolution 12? Since we appear not to have any more, we will close the public hearing and we'll move to amendments. And I understand Representative
Well, more Olson? Comment. I don't know sure. If it's an amendment at this point in time, but page 3, lines 5 through 7.
Okay.
It appears to be more of an endorsement of the oil companies than they may deserve after the events of last year and the events that are continuing to unfold back in D.C. as we find more and more information about the problems with maintenance. I wonder if there might be a way that we can tweak this down a little bit. You know, maybe generally the industry has shown, or for the most part, or two
not
out of
lately.
I have an amendment.
That addresses that, or
I have an amendment that addresses it.
Okay. Would you care to respond to his concerns, Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson, through the chair, I don't disagree. I would certainly think that, for the last at least, number of years up until recently, there has been a fairly good track record. You know, bear in mind that a lot of this infrastructure was designed to for a life of 30 years, and now we're pushing 33 and 34, and we are in uncharted territory. So I would hate to condemn a whole industry based upon, and I'm not minimizing the accident or the culpability of the parties, but I'd also hate to, maybe every producer doesn't fall into that same category. So I think if a term like generally or occasionally, you know, I think that's a little too far the other way. But I think generally would be a good way to go.
For the most part?
For the most part. Something that does that, because I don't think we want to by any stretch of the imagination through this resolution bless what the oil industry has done. So I entertain and I do agree with where
I do think by doing that, it'll give it more credibility. I mean, if we come in with a glowing endorsement.
I tend to agree.
It's on the front page of the paper every day.
I tend to agree. I would not disagree with that, Mr. Chairman.
That sounds like it might help.
And my understanding is that Representative Kawasaki has some language to address that. We'll get to that momentarily. I'll go to Representative Dugan first, since he had his hand up first.
No, that's fine, Mr. Chairman. I was just, I was going to propose how to word that, but if Representative Kawasaki's already got something, let's go with that.
All right. Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought about how to word it, and I just couldn't come up with a way that I felt was accurate. I moved to just strike on page 3, lines 5, 6, and 7.
Object.
If I can speak to that, mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, please.
As members of the House Oil and Gas Committee, we get the DEC briefings. I think on your fax machines, you guys probably mm-hmm. see them in picture.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much, and I used to do the same, but now I actually look at them. And, you know, we get these DEC spill reports and contamination reports on oil transit lines and small, lighter lines outside of the transit line system that leak daily. I think that, you know, if we put this whereas without any significant changes in it, I think that it's an endorsement of how well they're doing things. And quite frankly, I don't think the industry is doing it that greatly in the state of Alaska. I think if I tried to think of a way we can amend it to make it sound a little bit less a little bit more truthful, mm-hmm. but quite frankly, you know, the oil companies and the oil industry have not had a great record up there. Certainly, recently, in containing adverse environmental effects.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, we have a motion before us that has been objected to, and to speak further to the motion, Representative Dugan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we don't believe that we can put some version of this whereas in this resolution, then basically I believe we're saying we shouldn't pass the resolution.
I agree with you.
Because if we can't depend on the oil industry to perform what we're asking Congress to let them do in an environmentally safe manner, then I don't see why we would be petitioning Congress to let them do it at all.
Right.
I think that we ought to be able to find some language here that reflects the reality of what seems to be happening as the facilities at Prudhoe Bay age, not necessarily having to do with the drilling activity that we're talking about here, but still to acknowledge that there are some problems there, but that generally in the kinds of operations that we're asking Congress to allow here, they haven't been too bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right. Thank you very much. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest that we just simply swap the line, the word safely on line 6 with the word generally.
So is that a friendly amendment then to the motion?
Well, I think the motion was to delete lines 5, 6,
that's right.
Seven.
It was to delete. I'm sorry.
Okay. Could we add that again, Jake?
Sure. It would read that it can generally conduct oil and mm-hmm. gas activity without adversely affecting the environment or wildlife populations.
Did you have any thoughts on that, Representative Kawasaki?
Well.
Acceptable middle ground, perhaps.
I'm trying to think of whether that's a true statement. I'd rather just have it out completely.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion before us, which has been objected to, and since the objection clearly seems to be maintained, we will, unless there's further discussion on this, we will ask for the clerk to call the roll on this. Are you ready, ma'am, for a roll call?
And that's to delete 5 for 7.
Exactly. Thanks for asking for that clarification. It's to completely delete all language in lines 5, 6, and 7 on page 3. So, Madam Clerk?
Representative Kawasaki?
Yes.
Representative Olson?
No.
Representative Dalston is absent. Representative Sandholm is absent. Representative Rammers?
No.
Representative Dugan?
No.
Chair Corrigan?
No. So the motion. So the motion does fail. Thank you, Representative Kawasaki. Representative Rammers?
Chairman, I'd like to offer conceptual amendment number 2, substituting the word on line 6, page 3, substituting the word safely for the word generally.
Okay. Any objections to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
You got it.
Simply to offer an alternative wording that would say that it is capable of conducting oil and gas activity without adversely, which I believe is a statement anyone can support. Mm-hmm. The oil industry has proven that capability without getting into the question of how often or under what conditions.
Mr. Chairman, I'd accept that as an amendment to the amendment.
You know what that means.
No, not
don't even have to say. We all know what the,
thanks,
what the penalty for that is. Thank you, Jay, for the contribution to the committee. Okay. Is there any objection to the amended? Let's see, how would I say that? To the amendment that has been amended? Is that the proper way of putting that? Well, we all know what I'm saying. Any objection to the amendment as amended, I guess is what we would say. That would word it line 6, along the Arctic coastal plain, comma, that
it
is capable of conducting oil and gas activity, et cetera, et cetera.
Is capable of conducting oil and gas activity, et cetera.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no objection to that, that amendment has been adopted. We'll move next to Representative Kawasaki and his subsequent amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 1, line 14, after the words North Slope Borough and, I'd like to add the words many of the.
Sorry, again, please.
After the word, I'm sorry, page 1, line 14, after the word North Slope Borough and,
mm-hmm.
comma, and.
Okay.
And then insert many of the.
So it would say.
Many of the residents.
And many of the residents of the North Slope Borough. And do you care to have any concerns with that, Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chairman, clearly not everyone is in agreement, and I think this isn't appropriate. Okay. I think we've heard testimony that it is appropriate. That
okay.
I wouldn't want to speak to everyone on.
I concur with that. Any objections to that? Seeing none, that is adopted. Back to Representative Kawasaki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. Page 2, lines 17 and 18. I'd like to. Page 2, lines 17 and 18, I move to strike, delete line 17 and 18.
Okay, and you're care to speak to that amendment?
Sure. I've seen that number around, and I'm sure it's because I've seen it from a previous version of a resolution similar to this, probably about 10 years ago, that said that approximately it's declining at 10%, and that's mm-hmm. the rate.
Mm-hmm.
I've always sort of taken that as being a truth, mm-hmm. and I sort of looked into it, and I went into the crude oil production forecast from the Department of Revenue. I made copies if anybody mm-hmm. really wants to look at them. The crude oil forecast for 2007 to 2016, and it's got for Prudhoe Bay Field 2, it shows the number 280 million barrels per day in 2007, 301 for 2008, 295 for 2009. It's essentially, the decreases look to be closer to 2 to 3.1, 2.5%, 4%, 3.8. I guess I don't know if I like this number anymore,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I'd like to just have it stricken.
Mm-hmm. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, and I know that I'm not a member of the committee, but I do think that everyone would agree that it's declining.
Mm-hmm.
The number might be at issue, but if we just struck after just at the end of declining, put a period, and just left it that the production of Prudhoe Bay is declining without a number, because I think we could all agree that it is declining.
I think that's a very valid point myself,
okay.
personally.
I'll take that.
Would you accept that?
Sure.
As a,
yep.
Certainly. And I'll offer that, I guess, as the friendly amendment on behalf of Representative Johnson. So we'll,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Rammers.
We learned in House Judiciary Committee from the Rules Chairman there's no such thing as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Let's figure out something.
something that's synonymous to friendly then. Okay, thank you.
We got quite a lecture.
Okay, all right.
The only friendly amendment is no amendment, is that it?
Okay, so line 17 and 18 has been modified now to where it'll say, quote, whereas Prudhoe Bay production is declining, period, and the rest of the verbiage will be striking.
I believe it should be a semicolon there.
Semicolon, thank you.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, thank you.
I finally got to do a punctuation.
All right. Major contribution to the committee today. Yes. Thank you so much. Representative Ramirez.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'd like to indicate that you are a friendly chairman, however.
Where's that tissue paper? I need to wipe my eyes here.
As amended.
Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that, and the feelings are mutual. As it is with the rest of the committee here, you guys are great guys, and I've really enjoyed getting a little sentimental here working with you on this committee. This session, which will likely be our last meeting, too, I was going to save those remarks for the end, but in case I do forget those, it's been a great session, very productive one. And count you guys as all friends. Okay, Representative Kawasaki.
Just one more, Mr. Chairman, or I'm sorry, just two more, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. On page 3, line 1 and 2, I'd like to delete the word effect, or after the word effect, mm-hmm. delete down to the next line, 2, 0.5%, and insert only a small portion.
And your justification?
I'll object.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion before us to delete, as noted, that portion between lines 1 and 2 and page 3, and has been objected. Okay. Representative Kawasaki?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this is a number that I've seen, again, float around and sort of debated back and forth as to how large an area would actually be affected if, in fact, drilling were permitted in ANWR. I discussed with the maker of the resolution exactly where the numbers came from. It's just sort of another one of those numbers that's sort of generally accepted. I've heard that whether it's the footprint or whether it's it's going to be one facility here and a facility that's a quarter mile away, thus you've got a fence between the two, that's more than just the 2,000 to 7,000 acres. And so I wanted to make sure that it was known that, even though we agree to this resolution that we're not limiting ourselves to acreage and that it is a small portion, but it might be more than 2,000 to 7,000 acres.
Representative Johnson, do you care to respond to that?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a problem with saying a smaller portion. I think in Alaska, actually, I think it does us. It serves us well because you talk about 7,000 acres to someone in New York mm-hmm. City, and that's a huge piece mm-hmm. of real estate. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that it doesn't serve our purpose to only a small section.
Yes.
I think it's less accurate, mm-hmm. and it may be somewhat disingenuous to say a small portion when you're mm-hmm. talking about 7,000 acres, which is bigger than most farms in Kansas.
Yeah.
So it's not a small area in terms of someone who's looking at it in Manhattan, mm-hmm. but in terms of Alaska and the Arctic slope, it is. And so I would not have a problem with taking out. Mm-hmm. I do not want to deceive anyone to thinking that we're just drilling in a parking lot over across the street, because it is 7,000 acres.
Yes.
So I don't have a problem with it. I just want to be on record is that it's not the intention of this mm-hmm. to in any way deceive anyone by saying a small portion. Small to us is not small to someone in New York or someplace else. So I would be cautious about that and just on the record want to be clear that we are talking about a fairly substantial piece yeah. of land in terms of acreage.
And I concur with you on that. Me being from Alaska, I look at that number and I think, man, that's really small. And that underscores what your point you're trying to make is that it's just a tiny area up in that vast portion of Alaska. So, but I understand what you're saying, and it's a very valid point. Representative Duggan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure, Representative Kawasaki, your concern here is that may actually affect more than 7,000 acres?
To that, mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, I think that when a person says that it's only going to affect 2,000 acres, and we've seen the numbers that, okay, the land around there, around a platform or around a site will only be this large, but if you connect the dots and you figure, well, all this land is going to be off limits once, once, if a company gets the lease, the entire area is going to be off limits. It's not just going to be the small footprint of 2,000 or 7,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's to put that in there and say it's only going to be 2,000 or 7,000 acres as a footprint, I think is sort of, well, wrong.
Representative Dugan?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying here. We're talking about the size of the footprint for production on the coastal plain. So we think the footprint is going to be larger than 7,000 acres, because that's a pretty big footprint. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're actually talking about an oil and gas field, 7,000 acres mm-hmm. is a pretty big oil and gas field on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Or are we talking about the fact that it will affect, well, that doesn't make any sense. So we have to be concerned that the footprint's actually going to be bigger than 7,000 acres to support the amendment. Is that correct?
It's my concern that it would actually affect more than just 7,000 acres. And I think to highlight that it's only going to affect 2,000 to 7,000 acres is wrong. But I do agree that overall, when you think of the 150 or 1.5 million acre coastal plain, that it is a small portion of that. I'm just saying I think it's going to be more than 7,000 acres that are totally affected.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We still have an objection that's maintained then?
I like specificity, and a small area doesn't get me over the hurdle, so the objection is maintained.
On the motion before us, the amendment before us, that is, to I'll just reread it before we talk, ask for a roll call vote, and then again to correct me if I'm wrong, Representative Kawasaki, but it would say refuges coastal plain would affect only a small area of the coastal plain, semicolon.
Yeah.
That's the way it would read then. If we were to adopt this amendment, then okay. Seeing no further discussion on this amendment, we'll go ahead and have the clerk call the roll, please.
Representative Olson?
No.
Representative Goldstrom is absent. Representative Samuels is absent. Representative Ramrath?
No.
Representative Dugan?
Pass, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kawasaki?
Yes.
Chair Cornyn?
No. And then go back to Dugan?
Yes.
Don't get discouraged, Scott. Hang in there.
Don't worry, I only have 50 more amendments.
Yeah, at least you got one so far.
Just
so,
one more, and it's sort of a
so with that, the motion is not adopted as a result of a 2-4 vote. So 2-3 vote, I guess. Okay, Representative Kawasaki.
Well, I guess actually I don't have any more amendments, just comments on the bill.
Okay. Are there any other amendments from the committee members before we move
I've
to the final remarks?
One.
Representative Olson?
Page 3. Lines, line 8.
Page 3, line 8, okay.
After, whereas the state, insert, will strive to ensure rather than will, we lost half our caribou herd, Kenai Peninsula caribou herd to a snowslide avalanche a couple years ago. I could see something happening, not necessarily, I don't think we have any avalanche chutes in this particular lease area, but I could see some kind of natural disaster wiping out the herd that would be out of the control of the state. And just, I think this would clarify it, that we're trying to control things that we can. Or
I need a clarification from you as to exactly what the verbiage would be then.
I would read, whereas the state will strive to ensure mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. continued health.
So we're just simply inserting the word strive then?
Will strive to.
Will strive to, okay. Any objection to that motion? Is that okay with you, Representative Johnson?
That's fine. I think that's accurate. And as Representative Kawasaki has passed it, this language may be passed on from generation to generation. And the more work we do on it now, the better off we are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Seeing no objections to that motion, I mean,
but
that
I'd
amendment.
I'd like on the record that the oil industry was not responsible for the loss of our caribou herd on the Kenai Peninsula.
No objection to that
not
amendment.
Not directly responded.
Directly responded.
It has been adopted. So we have the full bill before us. Are there any final comments on this legislation before we move it out? Anybody? Scott, did you have any further remarks?
Just a couple comments that I spoke with the author of the resolution about whether, in fact, on the second whereas on page two, whether there's expected to be significant gas reserves, whether that was an opinion or a stated fact, I don't know. I know that where there's oil, there's gas. I get that, but I don't know if there's been any studies that accurately describe how much gas. Let's see. And just in the further, on page three, line 24, under the further resolved, be it resolved, the activity that is conducted in a manner that protects the environment and naturally occurring population levels of the herd. I guess the two things are exclusive to each other, so mm-hmm. we might not be able to do both. Mm-hmm. And it was just a concern that we recognize that.
Okay.
And then the other part was that we want, or we're actually saying in the further resolve, that we'd like the activity to be conducted in a manner that uses directional drilling. And I don't know if we really want to say that to anybody that we in fact want them mm-hmm. to use directional drilling.
Yeah.
I just throw it out there. It's a newer technology that is not always, we don't know a lot about.
Yes.
It's only been used for 50 years.
Yes. Well, sir, thank you very much for those additional remarks. Certainly a good food for thought, and note those for the record. And perhaps you might want to address those on the House floor when we get to that point as well, too. And okay, we've been joined by Representative Dalton.
Right in the nick of time of closure of the meeting.
That's okay. No problem. We're just glad to have you here, and thanks for taking the time to get here. We understand. Any further comments on House Joint Resolution 12 as amended? Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to thank the sponsor for bringing what seems to be a much more balanced version of this resolution than we have seen in the past. I am of the opinion that our strategy of shouting at people to try to get them to vote to open ANWR in Washington did not prove to be very effective. I think that people have got legitimate concerns about what oil and gas development will do to the wildlife refuge, particularly to the coastal plain. On the other hand, Mr. Chairman, people got to eat. Yes. And we need to have, if we're to continue to enjoy the things that we enjoy in this state now, which is, as you'll recognize, a much different state than when you and I were younger.
Oh, yeah.
We need oil and gas development. This is still rated as one of the best prospects in the state of Alaska.
Yes,
I don't believe that we can, as state legislators, in good conscience, oppose at least finding out what's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said, I want to thank the sponsor for bringing us a more balanced version of this resolution, and hope that it actually has a somewhat better effect than previous versions might have had. Thank you, Richard.
I wish to echo his remarks as well, and thank you for basically keeping the flame alive. I'm glad somebody
is
taking the step to put forth this resolution, because we don't want the folks in D.C. to think that this is not at near the top of our list of important things that need to be.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, along those lines, if we forget it, it certainly will not be far from the memory of the rest of the United States. So I think we do need to keep it in the
forefront. Okay, so we have the amended version before us. Is there any objection to the amended version? I don't see any, didn't expect any. So the version E of CF for House Joint Resolution number 12 is therefore adopted.
Representative Dugan?
As amended, Mr. Chairman.
As amended, yes.
Okay.
And with, of course, a company zero fiscal note and with individual recommendations as well. Before we conclude the meeting, I just wanted to reiterate to members here that I greatly appreciate your efforts, particularly on the AGEA bill. I think we can be very proud of our efforts, because we put a lot of time and effort into that. And I think we produced a much better document than what was given to us at the onset of that process there. And I think
we played a very important and what proved to be a historical role in developing that class plan that we obviously hope to see come to fruition in the near future. So, been a real honor and pleasure serving with you this session, and you guys are a great bunch, and Kent and all is good friends, and look forward to a really good session next year as well. Representative Dugan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If indeed this is the last meeting of the committee, I want to reiterate my comments I made after the Agia bill moved out. I want to thank you for running an open and nonpartisan process in this committee and putting up with at least my sort of freshman missteps during the process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're quite welcome. And with that, we will close the meeting of the Household and Gas Committee at 4:05 p.m. Thank you very much.